This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
To join 94.9 at Sunday Arts Magazine. It's just gone 20 to 4. And that was One Night in Bangkok from the musical Chess, which is kind of funny because the next person that is also involved in a production of Chess. Tyron Park, are you there?
Hello. Did you just preempt the button? Is that what
that was me, Tyron.
Yeah,
sorry.
It wasn't me, I promise.
I can't imagine that could have happened.
Look, it's all very relaxed here on a Sunday afternoon, so it's all gloves are off. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here because last time we chatted, it was all about Chess, but there was no cast announced.
That's so right. Like, yes.
Little secret I had that I wasn't allowed to talk about, so now we can actually discuss this amazing group of people. So yeah.
And what is it about this musical? We were actually talking about it off air, Tyron, that you know, like, it didn't have great success when it was first brought out. You know, like, Tim Rice wrote the lyrics, and the two guys from ABBA wrote the music, and the music is excellent. What was it? Why didn't it work back then, yet it's got such a cult following these days?
Oh, look, that's the bazillion-dollar question, and one I've spent the past few months investigating. Look, I think what a lot of people don't know is it was an album first, and that's where it was just incredibly popular. It was sort of in the days where music theatre was the stuff we listened to on the radio, stuff like One Night in Bangkok, I know him so well, all those great songs. And I think, you know, Tim Rice and the ABBA boys had so much fun creating this album, and then putting this epic thing on stage has taken some time. I mean, actually, it went really well in the original London production, went for about 3.5 years. It was the Broadway production that they fixed that went for 3 weeks. So we don't have 3 weeks. So we're hoping for the success of the London production, but it is in a slightly condensed version. I think the music has always been the backbone of it, and I think because it was a story that was pulled together based on some real life facts and events that happened. But you know, it's that great Julie Andrews quote about how musicals are not written, they're rewritten. And this musical has undergone many things, many different kind of alterations over time. And I think we're in a position where we've kind of found the best bits of it, and we're really excited to bring it to the stage for now.
What about it do you think will be significantly different through a 2021 lens?
Look, I think any time you do a show, you look at stuff in a new way. And as a director, that's my job. And I have to be really aware of, like, my own nostalgia, because I grew up listening to Chess, and I've loved Chess for so long that I really have to go, yeah, but what do we think of it now? I think, you know, John, the thing that we all know about music theatre is that we're coming to a new awareness about music theatre. This piece was written in the 80s. It was written by a bunch of fabulously talented but middle-aged white men. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are some things to question about. What are the relationships with the women involved? Now, there are actually some really strong female characters, but it's just, I guess, the world has changed in how we look at how we present females on stage, about how we present minorities on stage. And, you know, there is a slightly odd sort of, even there's even a gay plot line in there that I'm like, what were they trying to do back in the 80s there that we can do with a little bit more taste now? So I think it's part of our job is to keep, you know, the parts of the show that are timeless, that are beautiful, and that is very much the score. And also just look at in the current age, what we want to see represented on stage. And that's our job in looking at any piece.
Yeah. And Tyron, we're so lucky when an orchestra plays a score. This score is epic. And orchestras all around the country, but particularly here in Melbourne at the Regent Theatre, are going to be playing it. I assume they'll be on stage and very much in focus. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Look, we wanted to do something that captured the the kind of epicness of the original cast recording, and so we have, you know, mostly if you were to go and see Chess in a regular theatre version of it, there's a pit band, and that's usually about 15 players. We have, you know, 25 pieces, and so we really want to explore that. And I actually think over time, Chess has found most success in concert halls. It's had amazing concerts with incredible singers like Idina Menzel and Josh Groban and all these amazing people who've sung it in concert. And part of it for me is that it is epic, and there's lots of space in a concert version where audiences can bring their own imagination. So we definitely want our orchestras front and center all over the country, and so we're really excited about that, and we want to celebrate that.
Yeah, and also, right this very moment, Chess has become, as in the word chess, has become ridiculously popular because of the Netflix TV show.
The Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, like, the producer rang me and said, do you know that, like, the sale of chess boards has gone through the roof? Like, who knew? But it's actually really interesting because even myself, you know, you think it's such an odd idea for a musical. I mean, I grew up with it, so it's okay. But an idea of Chess, the musical.
Yeah.
But when, you know, shows like The Queen's Gambit, they make you understand just how complex the game of chess is.
Yep.
And when you master it, and we're talking about masters, the kind of, you know, it's almost like using more percentage of your brain than we ever can. And so there's a kind of elegance and a musicality to breaking through to that part of yourself that I think really deserves musicalization, and that's part of the show.
Let's talk about the incredible lineup of principal artists that you have collected. The picture is so captivating, and I think, speaking of, you know, looking at any production through a 2021 lens, it feels like you guys have really hit the mark with a very diverse cast across all different platforms. Do you want to talk about some of those wonderful people?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, as I said, I've grown up with this show for such a long time that I didn't really feel like I needed to hear you know, the same kind of sounds. And so I knew that in our lead role of Florence, I wanted a kind of edge, a pop edge, because these were pop songs that, you know, but they were pop songs in the 80s. And so I sort of wanted to kind of find a new approach to them. And so Natalie Bassingthwaite is just one of those amazing performers that is a pop performer. We know her from TV, but we forget that she actually cut her teeth in music theatre.
Mm.
So she does both. And that, you know, you see her in Chicago and you think, oh, wow, that's a, you know, an absolute music theatre leading lady, and yet she's had all this wonderful success as a pop singer, and so she brings a wonderful edge to the role, which I think is fantastic. And I also, of course, wanted to match that with real theatre artists that are you know, given their life to, you know, Alex Lewis has worked all over the world in opera houses at the Met. He's just finished The Merry Widow at the Sydney Opera House. So I knew I needed somebody to bring the house down with Anthem. Then we have Paulini, Paulini's one of my friends. And when I got, I said, do you want to have a little sing of this song at one point, her big solo in the show? And she didn't know Chess. And hearing her sing it was just, it was so wonderful. Mark Furze, who was on The Voice last year, you know, he just had such an incredible edge to that role, which I thought was wonderful. And then, of course, we've got Milsey. And we've got a kind of revised, I mean, I've loved Milsey forever, and he's just so, it was one of those great moments where we're sitting around casting and I went, no, it needs to be someone like a Milsey. And then I
thought, oh. Let's call him.
Milsey.
Yeah, hey, he would love the fact that he's now known as a terminology. Yeah.
Hey, Tyron, of course, the last time, I think this is the truth, the last time we saw Chess on stage was with the production company, and the very beautiful loved production. Late Michael Falzon played the arbiter in that production. But you've gender-bended it, you've gone with ethnic diversity. Tell us about that exciting decision.
Well, look, I mean, I think that when I was looking at the piece, I was looking and going, where are the females in this that have real agency? And there's the role of the arbiter, who is like the kind of referee, if you like, of Chess. And so the kind of decision maker, the one that's sitting in all the power. And I kind of naturally thought, wouldn't it be interesting to find a female to sit in that? But that wasn't enough in itself. I kind of had to kind of think, what is the concept around that? Because the arbiter has a kind of ill-defined dramatic role. Sometimes they're the kind of narrator of the piece, but it's never been a through line that's entirely worked to my satisfaction watching the show. And so I have frequently worked with a really fantastic Indigenous singer called Brittany Shipway, and I've worked with her a few times, and we started to talk about what would happen if there was a concept around who the arbiter was. The very start of the play is the history of chess and the story of two brothers who fought each other for a Hindu throne, and one of them died, and the one who survived was banished by his mother. And in order to explain what happened, he created the chessboard to show the battle that occurred. And that's apparently how chess began. And Brittany really kind of was investigating, and we're in a process of investigating her Indigenous culture and the nature of things repeating themselves, and about how time is really different in our First Nations people's culture. And we've kind of been looking at what happens if the story keeps playing out over and over again, but this time it's with the American and the Russian, and she has to try and step in. And ultimately what we've come up with is that when you play with people's emotions, nobody wins. And so it's just a kind of a through line that we're exploring through it, so that we've got a kind of depth and a resonance that I think is contemporary, that brings the piece into a different kind of focus, and also allows the world to not only just swoon over Paulini and Natalie Bassingthwaite and Rob Mills, but this extraordinary new young talent in Brittany as well, which is really exciting.
Now, it's only on for a couple of nights, which is such a shame, but it is touring. That's the really good thing about it.
Yeah, and that's changed since I last spoke to you as well, because we are in Melbourne, and we are, at this point, we are sold out. However, we do have hopefully space opening up. We're sold out at our COVID capacity. So over the next little while, we are hopefully going to be in the position where we can open up more tickets. So if people want to see it in Melbourne, you can go on the wait list if you go to the website, which is www.chessmusical.info. But then we're going around Australia, which is amazing. We're going to Adelaide, we're going to Perth, and we're going to Brisbane. So it's selling really well, and I'm so thrilled that we're able to go to all of these cities. And many of them have never had chess before, a big professional production of chess. It's never been to Adelaide or Perth or Brisbane, and so it's really exciting.
Oh, excellent. All right, well, all the very best, and you know, like, and can't wait to see it. You know, I really do, and always have loved chess, and even though with the hiccups it's had along the way, and, you know, love it. So can't wait to see it again. So thank you for bringing it back.
Oh, we're really excited, and we can't wait to show this new version. So thanks for your support.
Thanks, Ty.
Thanks so much. We've been talking to Tyron Park, the director of chess, here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.